Lord, we come to you this morning. We're sinners who have been saved by grace. Lord, we need you. Lord, as we come to you, and especially as we come to your word this morning, break through all our resistance to your word. Break through our concept. Lord, your word is living. Your word is operative. And Lord, we pray that this morning, as we open your word, it would operate in each one of us. Lord, we all come with our biases. We come with our resistances. We come with our likes and our dislikes. But Lord, we pray this morning your word will break through all of that. We trust your word. It is the greatest thing we have. Thank you, Lord. We can know you through your word. We can also know ourselves through your word. So speak to us again this morning. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We're marching through the book of Exodus. And today we're going to come to chapter 20, which is the chapter on the Ten Commandments. I don't know what your thought is about the Ten Commandments. You know, it could be quite varied in this room, probably a lot of different views concerning the Ten Commandments. Some say, well, I do my best, and I think I do pretty good. Or you could have another reaction is, they're not for me. That's Old Testament. I'm in the New Testament. Well, let's see what we come up with this morning. Last week, and I really appreciated this, last week Ian shared with us concerning chapter 19, and this was where title of the message was A Proposal or God's Proposal. God was proposing to his people, be mine, be my treasure, be a kingdom of priests to me, be this, be a holy nation. And God and Israel responded, yes, yes, I will be yours. Well, just like every couple and their engagement, they're so happy. And then a day comes where there's a wedding. And then they say some vows. And of course, afterwards, we find out, what did I get myself into? I'm going to read you an example of either you can call it a pledge. That's what I call it when I'm helping couples get married. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to think about this, what I'm reading. So, I would say to the bride, Hilda, do you take this man to be your wedded husband, to live together in the covenant of faith, hope, and love, according to the intention of God for your lives together in Jesus Christ. Now, here's where it gets a little more. That sounds good and easy, right? Will you listen to his inmost thoughts? Be considerate and tender in your care of him. And stand by faithfully in sickness and in health. And listen to this one. Preferring him above all others, accept full responsibility for his every necessity for as long as you both shall live. Woo! That's a tall order, right? It's me, isn't it? There's something about me, and I don't even have my cell phone with me. covenants that we make in marriage. Sorry about that. Microphone doesn't like me. I'm full of static. Okay, let's come back. Marriage, this picture we have, what's my point in doing all of this? I'd like to show you. Last week we touched the matter of proposal. The Ten Commandments are more like the marriage covenant of God with his people. Normally we don't think of the Ten Commandments as a marriage covenant. But you think about it. Every covenant a couple makes to one another in marriage, if they really do what they're covenanting to one another, that will be a peaceful marriage. That will be a fruitful marriage. The same thing with the Ten Commandments. If God's people follow the Ten Commandments, their relationship with God becomes rich, fruitful. And why is that? Because first of all, the Ten Commandments show us, firstly, what kind of God we're having a relationship with. You say, but isn't it all don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that? But if you look at it closely, you find out God is faithful. How do we know that from the Ten Commandments? It reflects, God's faithfulness is reflected by do not commit adultery. The positive side of do not commit adultery is be faithful. Do not lie. God is truthful. Do not murder. God cares. You shall have no other gods before me. There is one God. And he's a jealous God in a good way. The Ten Commandments, first of all, show us who is God. Secondly, the Ten Commandments show us the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. Okay, let's look at chapter 20 of Exodus 1 to 17. Let's all read this together, okay? And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Verse 7. And you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Very good. So, that's the Ten Commandments. What's interesting about these Ten Commandments is, let's go back to the first slide. We have a verse here in verse 2. The whole thing, all these Ten Commandments have a preamble, this little introduction. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. All of these Ten Commandments have a base, and that base is this verse. God is telling his people how to live based upon what God has already done for them. Let me make it clear. God has already saved them. God has already delivered them. They are out of Egypt. They have crossed the Red Sea. They've been baptized already. They've been rescued out of slavery. They've been rescued out of bondage. And as we saw last week, what God bore them on eagle's wings? What is this now then? What's this? This is relationship. This is not to enter into a relationship. This is how to maintain the relationship. The Ten Commandments. Actually, God is asking them how to respond in the way they live. It is a response to God's salvation and redemption. It is a response to God's love for them. It is a way of maintaining the relationship. So this man, Tremper Longman, we have a quote from him. It's kind of a strange name. Israel's obligation to keep the law is not to form a relationship with God, but rather to show gratitude to and maintain the relationship that it already enjoys with him. This is for the maintenance of the relationship. Not to form, the relationship has already been formed. God has done all kinds of things to rescue his people. Now he's saying, my people, my peculiar, my treasure, my possession, let's maintain this relationship. As we mentioned, the Ten Commandments show us who God is. God wants his people to match him, not be something totally different from him. So, you say, oh, Ten Commandments, not that hard. But you know, it was quite clear, if you break one, you break all in the New Testament. And the last one is a little bit tough. These Ten Commandments actually can be summarized into two statements. And actually, Moses did that for us already. Moses condensed the Ten Commandments into two phrases. The first, chapter 6, 4 and 5 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, doesn't that sound familiar to a New Testament? It is, because the New Testament quotes this. This was Moses' summarizing of the Ten Commandments. And actually, this is what's called a Shema in Jewish religion. It's a declaration. They declare this twice a day, morning and night. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, I don't know about you, but I had this concept. Well, you know, the Jews, everything is just all about the law, all about. But here Moses is saying, no, it's about love. It's about love. Loving God. Okay. There's another verse in Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18. The summarizing of this verse is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. It is these two verse or two sightings that Jesus referred to when he was challenged with the question, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus' response, in more than one gospel, but we'll just use the one in Matthew. Jesus' response in Matthew was, first of all, the question was, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Everything depends on these two things. Or you could say, everything of the Old Testament law, Ten Commandments, plus all the rest, hang on this matter of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. So, just looking at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments represent our relationship directly with God. No other God, no idols, the Sabbath, and the name of God, not taking the Lord's name in vain. The second group, or the last six, focus on our relationship with our neighbor or neighbors, loving your neighbor, loving others. It's that little phrase on the end that kind of gets us, as yourself. Suddenly we realize, well, maybe keeping the Ten Commandments isn't as easy as I thought. To love my neighbor as myself. You think about what that means. And you realize, oh, Lord. Okay, when you think about this, to love God, what does that really mean? It means I will have no other gods. I will have no idols. I'm not going to get into that today. We'll probably get into that in the weeks to come. What's an idol? Do you have any idols? If we love God, we love his name. If we love our neighbor, we wouldn't murder them. We wouldn't steal from them. We wouldn't lie to them. We wouldn't commit adultery, and we wouldn't covet. In another place, in the New Testament, the Lord said, everything hangs actually on the second part. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we know we love God? Because we love our neighbor as ourself. And that's 1 John chapter 4. Don't say you love God, yet you hate your brother. If you hate your brother, you don't love God either. And of course, this whole matter of neighbor, then eventually one man tried to get out of it. Well, who's my neighbor? And of course, we have then the parable of the so-called parable of the Good Samaritan. It's actually not the good, it's not really the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a parable of who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? It's that person that you, it's that person you really don't want to be around. That's your neighbor. So, these Ten Commandments summarized into these two statements: love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself. So you may say, well, okay, Ten Commandments, Old Testament. Yeah, but now what you got a problem, because in the New Testament we have love God and love your neighbor as yourself. What are you going to do with that? I would say this, you know, the sequence in this chapter is striking. First is a matter of loving God, the first four commandments, and then loving your neighbor. It first begins with our vertical relationship with God. Our relationship with God comes first. Then comes our horizontal relationship with one another. How this is, how your horizontal relationship is dependent on your vertical relationship. The second needs the first. And the first should result in the second. Let's face it. You think about this. When you've got a problem with somebody, whether it's a sibling, whether it's whoever, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your parents. Whenever you've got a problem with somebody, you think about this. At that moment, how is your relationship with God? Can you pray right away? Can you read the Bible right away? No, you're hopping mad. Because you know full well that if I come to the Lord and my heart is open to the Lord, I'm going to have to apologize because I'm wrong. Our horizontal relationship is dependent on our vertical relationship. You want to have a good marriage? Take care of your relationship with God. But that also doesn't mean you can just take your horizontal relationship for granted, because that little as yourself thing at the end there poses a bit of a problem. That means to love the other as much as, at least, as yourself. But you know full well that probably means you have to love them more than yourself, to make sure that you love them as yourself. So, this relationship, the horizontal relationship comes first. The vertical relationship comes first. Then comes our horizontal relationship. And how our horizontal relationship is indicative of how our vertical relationship is. How our relationship with others really is the window to find out how is our relationship with the Lord. So, what do the Ten Commandments show us? Well, first of all, let's read a verse from Romans 3:20. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. We're not saved by keeping the law. We're not even justified by keeping the law. But what does the law do? The law, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. This is the other side concerning the law. The law, on one hand, shows us God, but it also shows us who we are. It shows us our sin. Romans 7:7, what then shall we say that the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. The law shows us what? The law shows us, number one, our sin. Number two, the law shows us we're weak. We're weak. Then the law also shows us we need a Savior. The law shows us we need a Savior. Let's look briefly at Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And also I think we have Romans. Do we have another verse? Romans 8. Yeah. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law shows us who God is. The law also shows us we got a weakness, we got a problem. We're weak. We have sin. But God didn't leave us there. God gave us a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us because the law showed us we're also sinners. To restore our relationship with God, even to maintain our relationship with God, we have a Savior, Christ, our Lord. We're going to have the Lord's table now. I believe this is a good point of this. Christ was the only one who fully was able to keep the law. The only one. God sent Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. And he fulfills the law. He meets all the requirements that we cannot do. So as believers in Christ, as we remember the Lord at his table this morning, let's just remember, Lord, we know we can't make it. We know we have fallen short in so many ways. But Christ, our sacrifice, he's the one who has fulfilled it on our behalf. Let us worship him. Let us thank him as we partake of the Lord's table. Let me just say this. This table is open to all believers in Christ. If you have received the Lord, if you've been baptized, we just say you are free to participate. Remember the Lord as we all remember the Lord together, his sacrifice for us, the one who met all of our needs on our behalf. Amen.
Three short announcements. The first one is just we are having a kids' night on March 24th. It's in your bulletins. Please set aside the time. It is for children, primarily those roughly JK to grade six. JK to grade six. By all means, come. This is not a general meeting of the church. It's not a general evening for the church. But if you love children, if you're bringing children, if you're coming here for children, by all means, come. But the evening is a kids' night. So set aside that. There'll be further announcements, and the invitations are already available, this card, and they're available at the back as you exit, so you can invite friends who have children. That's the first. The second announcement is simply also on the bulletin, the bottom, volunteering to help resettle refugees. We gave a few minutes last week describing the opportunity. If you have a feeling to enter into that, it's a one-year commitment to do practical tasks to help these two families settle here. And if you feel you can make that commitment, please come and see me this morning after the meeting. If you have to call me later, my phone number is there. And we will now just pray for lunch. We will have lunch together if that's new to you. If you're free, by all means, come and stay for lunch this morning. It's a potluck, and it's the first Lord's Day of every month. We'd love to sit with you. If you have to leave, by all means, leave right away after we pray. We will be praying for our lunch. The other thing before we pray is if you are parked blocking a path, there's one red SUV X-Trail that's blocking 25 cars at the moment, and not mentioning any names. Please discreetly leave quickly and open up the path. And then just go around the block if you want lunch, because by the time you come back, there'll be some empty spaces. That's all we have for today. Let's pray for our lunch.